William Bradbury, the writer of the music at the top, all right? So we are going to look at this hymn today. We've looked at a few others. We've studied, this is our fourth lesson in hymnology. The first one was on How Great Thou Art. What was the theme of that song? We're trying to look for themes and then apply them to the Bible. How Great Thou Art was about what? Praise, okay, worship, all right. And then we went to Just As I Am. We studied that hymn, and the theme of that was what? Invitation. And then last week, careful now, we studied Saved by Grace, written by Fanny Crosby. But what is the theme of that song? Eternity, all right? Not grace, but eternity. Tremendous song to help us as we prepare for eternity and think about things above. Now, Jesus Loves Me. What an interesting song. Who would think that a song like this would be birthed at West Point? You know, when you think of West Point, you think of military, strong, macho men, and so on and so forth. And yet, we're going to see that this has a connection to the West Point Academy for the officers going into the Army. And then we're also going to find out that this song is based on the story of a fictitious child. Not a real child, but a fictitious child in a story. And it inspired a song that was contained in the story. And so notice the name Anna Warner. Well, let me get to some of the histories, and then we'll get to a biblical application of this. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Let me read a verse here in a moment, but I want to read again from a couple books that I have on hymn histories. I want to read two of the different records from these two different books on the history of this hymn called Jesus Loves Me. This one is subtitled in a book called Songs in the Night by Henry Garapi. From the story of a dying child, from the story of a dying child. It says this, Karl Barth, B-A-R-T-H, the renowned Swiss theologian, one day was asked what he considered to be his greatest theological discovery. He replied, quote, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, end quote. Now, Karl Barth, of course, was not a fundamentalist in any way, shape, or form. But he was a believer. One Sunday at the close of a worship service at the Swiss colony, Le Brie, Francis Schaeffer, another man, not a fundamentalist, but an evangelical, asked the congregation to sing Jesus Loves Me. He smiled and added, this is my favorite hymn. Barth and Schaeffer would remind us that the most profound truths are usually the most simple. Indeed, there is no more sublime truth than that expressed by the words of this simple and beloved hymn. This song had a unique birth. Two sisters, Anna and Susan Warner, lived near West Point, New York. They taught a Sunday school class in their home for West Point cadets. Between them, they wrote more than 70 books. In 1860, they collaborated in writing the novel Say and Seal, which became a best-selling book of that day. In it, Johnny Fax, F-A-X, a young boy, suffered from a lingering disease. Near the end of the novel, Johnny asked his Sunday school teacher to hold him and sing to him as he often had done. His teacher, holding the boy, it's a fictitious boy, fictitious story, started to make up and sing some simple words, Jesus loves me, this I know. The plot of that novel and this touching scene gave birth to the now famous hymn. The four stanzas appeared in the novel as a song of comfort for the dying boy. This hymn has been sung by more children than any other. It is considered to be the best known hymn in the world. being translated by missionaries as a means of presenting the gospel in a clear, simple way. In 1861, 1 year later, William Bradbury composed a tune to which we now sing the words. All right, there's Henry Garapi's record of the history of the hymn, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Now I'd like to read from this book called 101 Hymn Stories by Kenneth Osbeck, his record. Without doubt, the hymn that has influenced children for Christ more than any other is this simple stated one, written in 1860 by Anna Bartlett Warner. Miss Warner wrote this text in collaboration with her sister Susan as a part of one of the best-selling novels of that day, a novel written by Susan entitled Say and Seal. Today, few remember the plot of that novel, which stirred the hearts of many readers. But the simple poem, spoken by one of the characters, Mr. Linden, as he comforts Johnny Fax, a dying child, still remains the favorite hymn of children around the world to this day. Anna and Susan Warner were highly educated and deeply devoted Christian young women who lived all of their lives along the Hudson River in New York in a lovely but secluded area apart from the busy world. Their home was near the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. And for a number of years, these two sisters conducted Sunday school classes for the young cadets. Their home was willed to the academy and made into a national shrine. Both sisters were buried with military honors in recognition of their spiritual contribution to the lives of the young military officers. After the death of their widower father, a well-known New York lawyer, the Warner sisters were left with a meager income and of necessity turned to serious literary writing. Susan became especially noted for several of her works, including a popular book called The Wide, Wide World, considered at that time to be the bestseller after Uncle Tom's Cabin. Although not as well known as Susan for her literary fame, Anna wrote a number of novels under the pseudonym Amy Lothrop and published two collections of verse, Hymns of the Church Militant, 1858, and Wayfaring Hymns, original and translated, 1869. The popularity of Jesus Loves Me soon spread quickly beyond the boundaries of our own land. Numerous stories are told by missionaries of the universal appeal this hymn has had with children in every culture. It is often one of the first hymns taught to new converts in foreign lands. The hymn has even been appropriated by other religious sects. Missionaries have reported that they have heard groups in Buddhist temples singing, Yes, Buddha Loves Me. Dr. William Bradbury, the composer of the music for the text, was one of the important contributors to the development of early gospel hymns in our country. He was born in York, Maine. As a young man, he moved to Boston, Massachusetts, where he became associated with Lowell Mason, often called the father of American public school and church music. Bradbury served as choir director and organist in several large Baptist churches in the East, where he became especially noted for his work with children. Among the highlights of his career were his annual music festivals, where more than 1,000 children would gather all dressed alike and sing many of his compositions. Soon, Bradbury gave himself exclusively to the teaching, writing, and publishing of a great volume of music. From 1841 until his death in 1868, he was involved with the publishing of 59 collections of sacred music. Bradbury composed the music for Jesus Loves Me in 1861, especially for Anna Warner's text, and personally added the chorus to the stanzas. So when you sing at the end, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. That part was written by Bradbury. It appeared in its present form in 1862 in his hymnal publication, The Golden Shower. Other hymns Bradbury wrote include He Leadeth Me, Just As I Am, Depth of Mercy, Even Me, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and The Solid Rock. And so we've got the two accounts. They're pretty interesting. From ladies who were working with military men, having a Sunday school class for them, and writing fictitious novels, would write a fictitious character of a boy dying. And Susan Warner wrote the book, but Anna, reading her sister's book, got the inspiration to write the hymn that the fictitious Sunday school teacher would sing to the fictitious Sunday school little boy student, Johnny Fax. So there you have it. There's the history behind the most often sung hymn. And the theme is children. The theme is children, this theme. You notice we're studying hymns with different themes. The theme is children. The hymn inspired by a fictitious child. Now, I want to ask you a doctrinal question. Have you ever been stumped by a doctrinal question that's so simple that you almost overlooked studying it? Well, I got to thinking about this. where in the world does it say in the Bible that Jesus loves me? Did you ever think of a simple? Can you spit out a verse? Oh, we got verses like John 3:16 talk about God loving us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, and so on. And we know Jesus was God. We understand that and everything. Did you ever ask yourself a question? Where is there a verse that specifically says Jesus loves me? Is this song accurate? When we sing it, Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me. Where in the Bible does it specifically say Jesus loves me? Did you ever think of that? Such a simple doctrinal question. I got to thinking about that this week while I was studying. I said, wait a minute. Is this song accurate? Is Karl Barth, the theologian, the Swiss theologian, was he accurate? Was Francis Schaeffer accurate when they said, the greatest thing I ever learned from the Bible is that Jesus loved me? Well, we know that's true, but can we put our finger on a verse that says specifically, Jesus Christ loves me? Yeah, it's another one. It's not really specific, but John 3:16 talks about God loves us. Yeah, we know the doctrine of the Trinity, but I'm looking for verses that specifically say Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, or Christ, loves us. Brother Kelly, read it. What does it say? I have that one written down. I have about 20 written down. I have to study it. I have to study this out. All right? And this is a good one that I have down, one verse that tells us specifically Christ loves us, or Jesus does love us. Go ahead.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or danger?
Okay. Who shall separate us from the love of C-H-R-I-S-T? You see that? So it is true. The Bible, Jesus loves us. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. Anybody find another verse that says Jesus or Christ loves us or loved somebody, and from that we can gather that he does in fact love people? I'm going to give you about 20 of them here if you want to write them down. We'll go quickly. Yes, Rebecca? Okay, I have that one down also. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. All right? The fact that we know Christ loves us, constrains us, or compels us to serve him. All right, that's good. Anybody find another one about Jesus or Christ where it specifically says he loves us? Not God, although we know he's God, but specifically? All right, well, let's look at our text. I've asked you to open to Ephesians chapter 3, and here's just some verses, and I'll go through them here, and then we'll look at a few other things that are taught in the psalm. Ephesians 3:19, what does it say? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The text talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, and so on, and it says that one of the reasons why we should study, verse 19, is to know the love of Christ. Now, as for specific examples, turn with me to John. I think this is the greatest book that gives us specific examples where Jesus loved individuals. It says in John 11 and verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. So we see an example here. And then later on in that chapter, when Lazarus died, it was observed of Christ in John 11 and verse number 36, these words, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Behold how he, Christ, loved him, Lazarus. And so there's another verse that tells us Jesus loves us, or Jesus loves individuals. Look at John 13. Here's a great one. And verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Isn't that a good one? That tells us Jesus loves us. The Bible tells us, though, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that verse about the love of Christ. He just loved them to the end. Have you ever loved someone to the end? What love Christ has. I want to encourage you and myself, love people to the end. Sometimes we love them till they offend us. Or we love them till they ignore us. Or we love them till they quit the church and we never see them again. And then they just, poof, kind of like, you know, a little figment of our imagination that just blows up. We forget they even exist. And I can do that myself if I'm not careful. Having loved his own which were in the world, you love them to the end. You love them to the end. I want to encourage you to love people to the end. And I thank God for John 13:1. Because I believe Jesus is going to love me to the end. I probably might not give him much reason to, but I think he will. Now here's 5 that I'll just give you because they all say the same thing. John 13:23, John 19:26, John 20 verse 2, John 21 verse 7, and John 21 verse 20. All 5 of those verses say the same thing about the Apostle John and his relationship to Christ. And what was that? Anybody remember? Was that the disciple whom Jesus loved? So the doctrine of this song is correct. Are you getting it? All right. We're doctrinalists here at Faith Bible Baptist Church. We don't just spit out things that we heard from tradition or superstition or little kid stories or hymns. But we're doctrinalists. We want to back up what we believe, and the hymn is accurate. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, some people just don't believe the Bible. They think Jesus is mad at them, Jesus hates them, Jesus doesn't want anything to do with them anymore. They for some reason, have become the first human being to, outlast his mercy. You know, you're not. Here's another one, John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. All right? Continue ye in my love. John 15, verse 9. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, listen, as I have loved you. As I have loved you, Jesus said, I love you. Romans 8 and verse 37, Kelly was reading Romans 8, 35 earlier, and maybe you wrote that down. Just a couple of verses later, it says this, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And he's talking here in the context about Christ Jesus our Lord specifically. And then in that same text, John 8, 39. So you got John 8, 35, John 8, 37, John 8, 39. It says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So yes, Jesus loves me. Anybody find any other verses? But John 13, 34, did I not mention that? No, I didn't. What did that say? Please read that. John 13, 34, I didn't write that one down. All right, that's excellent. That's another one. "A new commandment have I given unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 13, 34. And so by the time we're done here, we're going to have over 20 verses. I got a couple more to share with you. And we have about 20 verses that just back up this little chorus we love to sing with children. We can sing it with confidence. Well, listen to Galatians 2 and verse 20 now as I read it. It says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me." Who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, the Son of God who loved me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Now go to Ephesians, just a couple more, and then we'll go on to the song and learn a few things from the song. Ephesians 5 and verse number 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." Ephesians 5, verse 2. Ephesians 5, 25. You know this verse, don't you? "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." And that's not talking about the building. It's talking about the people. Christ loves the church. Are you a part of the church? He loves you. I want to encourage you to rest in the love of Christ. That is a truth many believers never seem to apply in their lives. They constantly think they got to go earning God's love. Boy, I didn't do enough this week to earn the love of Christ. No, just rest in the love of Christ. He loves you. If you were paralyzed from the neck down in a bed in a hospital and you could never do another thing for Christ as long as you lived, he'd still love you. See, we think our love has to be earned. We're almost like Catholics. We're saved by grace, but boy, you got to keep earning his love. And some of you, you know, some of you didn't do anything for God this week. And so you think, well, you don't love me today because I was a real loser this week. No, he loves you. You need to rest in that love. Now, I think we ought to show our love back towards him by service. He loves us whether we serve him or not. His love's not conditional like us humans. Oh, I'll love you if you love me. I'll be merciful to you if you're merciful to me. I'll be kind to you. No, that's human stuff. You need to just rest in the love of the Lord and get over it. And just accept it by faith. Jesus loves me. And that's why that theologian said it was the most profound truth in all of his deep, 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 deep Bible studies. And in fact, I think Karl Barth was off, really off on a lot of things. I think he maybe they had too much learning or something. We're not talking about Karl Barth. We're talking about Karl Barth. All right, B-A-R-T-H, the Swiss theologian. But anyways, that was the conclusion of his life. I say it's the most profound truth. And some of you just, I don't think have really, ever really learned it. Maybe these verses today will change your life. But I don't think any of us is going to reach our potential for God until we just rest in the fact that, fall or stand, Christ loves me. And active or dormant, Christ loves me. And so just realize He loves you. Now, Ephesians 5:25, I gave you that one. Ephesians 3:19, I'll go backward here. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ. Oh, that's the one we read earlier, okay. Yeah, we read that earlier. To know the love of Christ. Do we need to know the love of Christ? Don't just know about it, but have it applied personally. Just run into every day with that confidence. I don't know what's going to happen today, but one thing I know is Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me today. And one more, Ephesians 6:23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love from the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so there's probably 20 verses right there of doctrine that tell you that Jesus loves you, not just God, and we know He's God. You can take all the verses that say God loves you and apply them to Jesus too. But I tried to give you specifically verses today that say Jesus or Jesus Christ or Christ or the Son of God loves you. And so, you know, if you don't think He does, then you're calling Him a liar at least on 20 occasions. And I wouldn't want that on my conscience. Just accept it. Jesus loves you. You don't have to earn it. You just rest in it. You just rest in it. The Bible tells me so. Okay, before we go on to the song, anybody find any other verses? Specifically say Jesus or Christ or the Son of God loves you? Well, if you do, let me know. We'll list them somehow, sometime. Well, let me look at the song here, and I just have a few minutes to look at some of the words of the song and then apply them to scriptures. Verse 1, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We've done that. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. I do believe every child, every infant is safe in Jesus Christ. I believe there comes a time when there is an age of accountability and a person crosses a line that only God knows. I believe that's based on Scripture. When a person goes from being a sinner by nature to a sinner by choice, and they need to be saved. And we need to teach our children, even when they're infants and 1 and 2 and 3 years old, about salvation. But I have noticed sometimes where even 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old, 8-year-olds can make a true decision to receive Christ as their Savior. The little ones to Him belong. It says in Matthew 18, it's kind of a strange verse. But in Matthew 18 and verse 10, we read this. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We are cautioned by Jesus, don't despise little children. We live in a day where little children are despised. They are aborted at a rate of 4,000 a day in America, 400 a day in New York State. That's just people who despise children. And then there's a lot who give birth to the children, but they despise the children. And there's a lot of adults who never have had children, but they despise kids. There's even church members despise boys and girls that come into the church, in cars and buses or whatever. We've got to watch our attitude. The Bible says God has designated at least one angel for every little child. And those angels constantly just stare into the face of God waiting for a message to go and help a little child on earth. I don't understand what all that means, but it sure does tell me that children are important to the Lord. Later on in the same chapter, Matthew 18:14, it says, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I think when a little one-year-old boy or girl dies, or a little two-year-old boy or girl dies, and as tragic as that is, I believe they go off to heaven to be with the Lord. And I believe churches ought to make just paramount efforts to try to win little boys and girls to Christ. And usually before they're 14, almost everybody who hears the gospel will accept Christ as their Savior. We need to focus on the evangelizing of children. We have an example of conversion in Matthew 18:3. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, God only saves children or people who have a child's attitude. I don't care if a person's 70 years old, they got to have a child's attitude and come by faith, with childlike faith, and receive Christ as their Savior. All right, verse 2. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. It says here, Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. In John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Then the writer says, he will wash away my sin. Over in Revelation 1 and verse 5, it says, he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. He will let his little child come in. In Matthew 19 and verse 13 through 15, it says this, then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them. And I want you to notice that he receives little children, as we read in verse 2. And then our time is almost up. Verse 3, Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, we have the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that a great promise? I will never leave thee. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it talks about all the things he does close by to us, his children. Well, let's close. Look at the last statement of verse 3. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. The Lord is not far from any one of us, is he? That's what Paul told the Athenians on Mars Hill. The Lord's not far from any one of us. He even said that to the unsaved. Isaiah the prophet said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is what? Near. The Lord is near to every one of us. He will stay close beside me all the way. And then the last thing is this, and this is where it comes in for us. This is all a blessing, but what about our responsibility? Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. That reminds me of closing of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. I wonder if Anna Warner was thinking of 2 Corinthians 5:15 when she wrote verse 3 of that poem. All right, Jesus loves me, most often sung hymn in all the world, and really simple yet profoundly scriptural. Profoundly scriptural. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. I don't know of any more profound truth that would affect our lives and change us forever than to know that Jesus loves us. And Lord, there may be some in this room right now who think they did something this week that outlasted your love, outlasted your mercy or your kindness, and it didn't. Lord, we can never wear out your love. So for those who don't think they're loved this morning, I pray that all these verses would, in a powerful way, change their life. That they'd get back up again and go on and realize that we can't outlast your love, and nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you. Lord, this will give us confidence. Lord, no good father or mother stops loving their kids even if they go bad. And you're better than we are. But Lord, help us to be good children. And now we pray thy blessing on this following service and children's churches. And bless the little children you send us this day. Lord, put your hands on them and bless them, even amongst us. And love them through us. Oh God, give us adults who will work with children. And bless those who are, for Jesus' sake. Amen.